This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Finnegan ready. One ball, one strike to pitch. Swinging a ground ball to the left side. To his left to get it, Abrams. The throw to first, and a curly W is in the books. C.J. Abrams, in his Nationals debut, makes the first play of the game and the final play of the game.
Charlie Slows is heard last night right here on The Fan. 5-4 win for the Nationals, coming from behind to beat the Cubs after dropping the series finale and the series against the Padres. They win tonight. They take 2 out of 3 from Chicago. Would be a rare series win for the Nats. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. I got to say, frankly, we'll be picking our spots in terms of breaking down the Nats and going out to Nationals Park here down the stretch. But there are days that are bigger than others. And yesterday, Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, one of our buddies who does such a great job covering that team, was one of the days to be at the ballpark. They debuted C.J. Abrams. You had Josiah Gray on the hill again. And then tonight, another big night because Patrick Corbin is rejoining the rotation. So let's start first with yesterday and with Abrams. What did you see?
You know, I saw athleticism, guys. You can see what everybody saw in him all along. The range he has at shortstop, the strong arm. He made one throw in particular that may have helped keep the game tied at the moment late in the game, where he had to range way to his left, feel the ball, and then throw across his body, made a good solid throw to do that. So you see all those things. He didn't do much at the plate, but you know, you're not going to judge anything on one day. But so he's 21 years old. He's highly touted, but he doesn't have a whole lot of professional experience. Probably going to make some mistakes along the way. But you saw enough in that first game to say, okay, I see what the scouts have been seeing all along, and there's a reason that he's so highly touted. Now you just put him out there every day the rest of the way, and by the end of the season, hopefully you've got yourself a clear answer for your future at shortstop.
What is he going to do at the plate, though, Mark? And I mean this year specifically. You know, he's the kind of guy that in a different situation would probably still be down getting, you know, fully formed and seasoned in the minor leagues. But seems like the makeup is good enough. He can handle some of the failure that's inevitably coming his way at the big league level. I don't expect a ton yet offensively down the line we could talk about. But the rest of the way this year, what's he going to be?
Yeah, let's be honest. In a perfect situation or in a different situation, he'd probably spend this whole year at AAA. Now, he didn't. He spent a lot of time with the Padres as their starting shortstop, because Fernando Tatis got hurt at the beginning of the year. So it's not like he has no experience at this level. But yeah, ideally he would probably take some more time. I think what they want to see more than anything from him is get on base and use your speed. He has good bat-to-ball skills, good contact. They want him to be a little more selective, not chase pitches out of the zone, as you see with a lot of young hitters. We're going to see him hit at the top of the lineup here before too long. For now, Davey's trying to ease his way into it. He's had him hitting seventh the first two games. I don't think that's going to last super long time. They do view him as a, you know, one or two hitter probably when it's all said and done. But let him get his feet wet. Let him see what this is like. I'm, you know, just watching him run down the line. He didn't reach base, but he hit at least one ground ball where he had, you know, maybe had a chance to show it off a little bit. And you could see the speed is there. So I'm curious if he gets on base. I want to see what he can do once he's on base, because I think that could be pretty exciting. Very athletic looking, very lean. You know, you're 21 years old. You got to take advantage of that while you have it. And they're hoping they have a lot of that here for a few years.
He had 3 exit velocities last night over 87 miles an hour, which is considered barreled. So that was good to see. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, with us here on Grant and Danny. On the position in the lineup, you said you think he could go up in the order sooner rather than later. What is the logic of having him bat seventh? Because one of my frustrations in life is when these young kids get called up for non-contending teams, and then they're not put in the best possible position to win anyway. I understand that it's better for the ball club maybe if he bats seventh. Who cares about the ball club? I care about C.J. Abrams. Like, let him, Joey Meneses, who's batting 980, the team 980, let him be behind him in the lineup. And Luke Voit, Nelson Cruz, not Lane Thomas and Ildemaro, whatever his name is.
Vargas, Ildemaro Vargas. Thanks. He's your third baseman now, yes. No, I get what you're saying. I think what Davey would probably counter that with is that this isn't necessarily because he thinks the other guys at the top of the lineup are better for the team's chances of winning. I think he would say it's more about not wanting to put too much on a young kid right away. You saw him do this with Luis Garcia at times also earlier this year. And, you know, you can debate the merits of it and whether it does make a difference or not. But I think the thought is, hey, let him get his first hit out of the way. Don't put him up at the top of the lineup and now he's feeling the pressure. I'm leading off. I've got to do this or I've got to do that or I've got to reach base this many times. And, you know, all of a sudden you have a couple of offers and you're putting even more pressure on yourself. So that's my guess, is that they're looking at this as give him a few games down there. Hopefully he gets a couple of hits, a walk or something, steals a base. And then you move his way up there to the point where it's not as big a deal and you can just kind of, you know, ease his way into that. But they do believe ultimately, yes, he is a top of the order guy. I think they just don't want to throw too much at him. There's a lot of attention on him, obviously, because he, you know, so far is the first of the prospects from the Padres to come here. So there's a big spotlight on him. And I think Davey would just say that he's trying to take as much of the spotlight off of him as he can.
Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, with us here on G&D. How is he? I mean, again, the speed is off the charts. It's obvious. Like, even on the play you mentioned where he was ranging to his left and you see him getting down the line, he can absolutely fly. Is that going to translate into huge stolen base totals? I don't mean, like, we're not in an era anymore, Mark, obviously, where, you know, Ricky Henderson's stealing 100 or, you know, Lou Brock and Vince Coleman and company. But so now if you're in the 30s, you're doing more than your average bear. Is he going to be an elite base stealer, or is this one of those guys that's just game fast and may not be excellent at that craft?
Yeah, I'm curious to see that, Danny. I don't know if is he Trey Turner or is he just like a good base runner or a fast base runner who's not necessarily a great base stealer. You know, there are two parts to it. To be good at that, you have to obviously have the natural ability, the good speed. You also have to have a lot of good instincts. We've seen plenty of them over the years here, guys who can run down the line as fast as anybody, but you stick them on first base and tell them to time a pitcher's move to the plate and get a good jump, and it's not always the same thing. So I'll be curious to see how he looks once he's out there on the bases a few times with that. I don't really know much about the instincts. I know he is. Certainly the speed tool is there. But with, you know, it's another kind of thing that it takes time in the big league, some experience to learn how to be a good base runner. It's not just about, are you just faster than everybody?
Sneaking one more in terms of promotions. I know I've asked you a couple times this year just for what you were hearing about Cade Cavalli. But I think after his last start, it's kind of more interesting now, right? 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, 3 hits. Do you think there's a chance we see him in the next couple of weeks? And if you had to bet, do you think he would make a few starts at the big league level this year?
Yes, definitely on that. Now, I will say I've officially given up trying to actually predict when this is going to happen because I've been proven wrong like 3 different times this summer. I really thought it would have happened by now. But, yes, that last start was really good. I thought the most interesting thing was they let him go 7 innings. They let him throw 96 pitches. They could have pulled him an inning earlier if they were being careful with him. If you're going to let him go that far, that kind of says to me that you're preparing him for what he might be facing up here in the big leagues, where they need him to be pushed and extended a little bit more. So that, to me, was a sign. They're going out west after this series against the Cubs. My guess would be, just from a PR standpoint, you probably don't want to have him make his major league debut at 10 p.m. on the East Coast. So maybe after that, they come home and they face the Reds and the A's. If it was me and I'm trying to find a good opportunity to have him pitch at home and against some lesser teams, that would make a lot of sense to me. But I've given up trying to predict what they're going to do because
I'm just getting my tweet ready here, Mark. You said definitely.
Mark Zuckerman reports.
Mark Zuckerman reporting.
Confirms.
Definitely next homestand, Reds or A's. Can you give me
your entire fortune?
Can you give me the exact date just before I hit send here?
I think it's the 26th, 27th. Yeah.
But honestly, I know you're shticking it up a little bit, but that actually does make a ton of sense. It really does.
Yeah. I know he's not Steven Strasburg, but think back. I know you were a kid still then, Grant, but when it was such a big deal, when is Strasburg's debut going to be? And they purposely found a date that was going to be at home. It was against a weak lineup, the Pirates. and a chance to both get a big crowd here and put him in a situation where he had the best chance to succeed. Cade Cavalli is not Steven Strasburg. It's not going to be anything like that kind of event when he makes his debut. But if you're trying to pick the best possible scenario for him to put him in the best chance to succeed and maybe draw a few more fans to the game, that would make some sense to me.
When asking about Josiah Gray last night, the overall numbers, there's a lot of good in there, right? You look at the strikeout rate. You look at the hits per nine. There's a lot of things that jump out at you. There's also some bad, right? The ERA, some of those crooked number innings that he's had, the occasional bouts of control issues, and his whip is certainly not elite here, Mark. But what have we gotten out of this season here? Age 24 season and 22 starts of Gray, on pace to make close to 30. What do we know? What do we see maybe down the line for him?
What I like about this season for him is that I think there's been more good than bad. Now, some of the bad have been pretty bad. They've had some big blow-up starts, and obviously the home run total, it's up to 31 now, is just staggering, and that's not going to work in the long term. But 10 strikeouts last night, he's done that several times now. I think he's over 10 strikeouts per nine innings, which as a starting pitcher is excellent. And I thought last night was maybe his most important start of the year because you got to that point in the sixth inning in a close game, runner in scoring position, two outs, the pitch counts up to 100, there's a reliever ready in the bullpen, and Davey comes up the dugout steps, and everybody's just assuming, okay, that's it, they're pulling him from the game. And instead, and Davey had hinted recently that he wanted to do this at some point, that he thought Josiah was ready for it, he wanted to see how he would react to that situation. He goes out to the mound, he looks him in the eye, says, hey, I'm not taking you out of this game, I'm giving you a breather, this is your batter, go get him, finish this thing off. And then he responded with the strikeout. It was as close to a Max Scherzer moment as you're going to get these days around here. And I think it was real significant in his development to have the reins taken off and have a manager who will let him do that, but also to deliver when given that opportunity like that. I think that goes a long way for him. So I see a guy who, if he can work on his mechanics, fix the issue he has where his fastball kind of tails back over the plate, and I think that leads to a lot of the home runs, if he can cut down on that, can keep striking out batters the way that he has, pitched down in the zone a little bit more, I see him being a solid pitcher for them for a long time. And I think, like I said, more good than bad this year has been important.
I'm with you. A lockstep verbal retweet on all that, and I loved that scene last night. I thought that was one of the highlights of the season.
It was great.
Patrick Corbin. So they skipped him. I think you tweeted this maybe. If not, someone did, but it was hilarious. They skipped a guy to go to three other pitchers in that series that had like 0-13 on the year or something like that. But he's back now. He's all fixed, right? I mean, they figured it out. They went into the lab, and he's a new model of Patrick Corbin. Is that what's going to happen here?
Well, yeah, check back with me about 8 o'clock tonight, and I'll let you know if it worked or not. Look, they got to a point there where they had to do something different. They can't just put him back on the mound 5 days later. He hadn't finished the first inning in two of his last three starts. I also think there was a calculated thing. We're talking about matchups earlier. Well, did they want him to try to fix himself and face Juan Soto and Josh Bell and the Padres? No, maybe it's better to give him a start off and now face the Cubs. A little more favorable matchup in theory. Now, we'll see. They definitely did things in the bullpen. He had two bullpen sessions. They feel like there's some mechanical things to try to get more of a downhill plane, more bite on the slider. Look, we're at desperation mode at this point with him. 4-16 with an ERA over 7, that's unfathomable. And to be honest, no other pitcher with those kind of numbers would still be starting. They would have sent him down or released him. This is because of the contract. They do not feel like they can make that kind of move at this point. I think tonight's important. If he can have a halfway decent start, I think he stays in the rotation. You hope to get some signs of progress the rest of the way. If he struggles again, Eric Fetty's close to coming back from his injury. I could see them reaching a point here where they say, we have to do something different. Does that mean in the bullpen? Does it mean an injury? Something. I don't think they want to put him in a position. I know it doesn't matter. We don't care about pitchers' wins and losses anymore. They don't want to set him up to lose 20 games. That hasn't happened in almost 20 years. So I really think they will not let it get to that point. But it's on him to try to do something to show that he should stay out there and not put himself in position to lose 20 games.
You mentioned the pitching and injuries, Mark. What's the latest on Steven Strasburg? The last we heard, Davey was kind of, you know, choking back tears, it seemed like, that it was a recurrence or something related to the original injury and surgery. He pitched on June the 9th. It's more than a couple months ago. I feel like we've heard nothing. What's he doing? What state is he in? Has he picked up a baseball? Does he like baseball? What's going on there?
Well, I can't speak if he likes baseball or not, but I can tell you he has not really picked one up and done anything with it since the recent thing. Remember, they called it a stress reaction of his ribs. It's like just shy of a stress fracture. So that's the kind of thing that you have to let heal 100% before you even attempt to do anything again. And yeah, it's been 2 months, but it has not healed. And, you know, you can do the math. We're August 15th. The season's over in 6 weeks. The idea of him being healthy enough to build himself back up and pitch before the end of the season, that sounds pretty far-fetched to me. But you let the thing heal completely, and then you come up with a plan for the off-season. Again, because of the contract, it says, you know, unless he is truly physically incapable of pitching anymore, you're going to give this another shot in the spring and hope that you find something that works. The hardest part of it, I think, was that he legitimately felt good about how he felt in that start, that one start in Miami. It wasn't an issue there. I know the results weren't good, but he was happy with how he felt physically. And then it was his next bullpen session a few days later that he felt it again, you know, in his rib cage, and that happened. So I don't know. I think at this point you hope that he can come back and pitch and do something for them, but I don't think anybody's counting on it, and certainly not counting on it happening anytime soon.
You should be following Mark on Twitter if you love the Nats, because he does a great job and updating on everything going on with the team all day long. And MatsonSports.com is where you can find his longer form work at Mark Zuckerman. Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Be well.
Thanks, Mark.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You know what that means, Danny? Don't you know what the bell means?
Is it the shame bell?
No,
because of your behavior at WWE Raw last night? Oh, it's different.
It's a different kind of bell.
Okay.
That bell means it's time for Ryan Clary to make his presence known.
Oh, let's go.
Hey! Oh,
hey,
hey!
All right, all right.
So I just came up with this on the fly. It's not a particularly good one, but frankly, I had a little Ryan withdrawal lately, so I just wanted to have him explain something to us.
You're going
to
shoehorn it.
I'm going to shoehorn this in. I came up with this in honor of Danny, who's at the beach.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
On vacation. I want to explain to us what a dune is all about.
A sand dune.
A dune.
A sand dune, right?
D-U-N-E.
A dune.
A dune.
Hmm. That's a great question, Grant. Let me just tell you that right now. That is a really good question. Let me use my brain real quick. Hmm. All right. So what a sand dune does, or the point of having a sand dune, is honestly, you
so far he's crushing it right now.
I mean, this is not good.
So many words so far, but all right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, here's my best.
He's
guess.
Using his brain. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm using my brain. I'm using a big brain. So here's what a sand dune does. There's a lot of sand. I can't tell you what sand is made out of. Don't ask me that. That's not what I'm here for. But a sand dune is filled with sand, and so what that does, it piles up. It could even shift. I know in Kill Devil Hills and in the Outer Banks, they have a bunch of sand dunes there. They love it. They love to talk about it. It's fine. It's cool. Not
Danny,
that cool, really.
They love to talk about their sand dunes there.
They do love to talk about them.
They do. And so, what those sand dunes do, they just...
We're a minute and a half into this answer right now.
Yeah. So what they do...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what sand dunes do is they build up a lot of sand, and they dune up. They build that sucker up with sand. They dune up. And what it's trying to do, the purpose of a sand dune is that it blocks the wind getting in from the harbor. So all those pretty houses on the Outer Banks there, Kill Devil Hills, what that does, those sand dunes, they block that wind in. Because guess what? Wind can't go through those sand dunes. It just can't. It doesn't do that. So, it blocks all that wind from the ocean coming in from, or from the bay. You never know. You never know which side.
No, you can't know, yeah.
And it just blocks that wind. Mm. That's what it does.
You know what? It's very, very good. Do you think that they help with flooding at all, or just it's strictly wind?
Probably not. Probably does not help. Because if you know, there is like water on the ocean, or there
right on top of it. Yeah,
water the right there.
The ocean is on top of sand. The bottom layer is sand. If you did not know that, so
okay,
water does leak through the sand. So I don't think that'd be beneficial to help stop.
What do you
flood.
Mean water does leak through the sand?
Well, I mean, have you ever built a sandcastle?
Sure.
You know why it sticks together?
So those big sand dunes, you don't think they're beneficial in perhaps preventing or reducing coastal flooding?
No, not at all.
Now, I have a quick question, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Look, what if I had a pile of sand? What's the difference between a pile of sand, an accumulation of sand, and a sand dune?
Mm. That's a very articulate question, Danny.
Thank you.
So, the pile of sand, there's nothing different. I can just tell you that right now.
Mm. Oh.
Because guess what? A dune is a pile of sand.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't really do too much besides blocking the wind.
Just blocks the wind from the harbor.
Yeah, exactly. It's that easy for me. I don't know. For me, this is simple. It blocks wind. That's what it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you know. Maybe you didn't before.
You were confused before.
Very succinctly, Ryan Clary has now explained it all on Amazing. Sand dunes.
You're welcome, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you feel like you're back after that, or do you think you're still scuffling? You missed this, Danny. Last week, Ryan got the yips somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't know what happened, but it was he came out and said, he told me, he's like, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I have the yips, and I'm struggling on air. And it has been a bit more of a scuffle lately for him. Do you feel like that was your reintroduction into the wild? Or
your slump buster there?
Did you throw that one into the crowd as well, Chuck Knobloch?
No. That one shined through, because I know I was right.
That was the one.
I'm back. Ryan's back. Ryan Explains It All is back, and it's thriving, and it's better than ever. I'm hoping that I just enlightened someone in the car.
Danny, did you think that he was back with that explanation, or was that...
I never knew that he was down.
Yeah.
Because when I bought my ticket to see it, you know, your star player went 3-for-4 with a couple doubles and a great defensive play. All I saw was excellence. I didn't know he was in a slump. News to me.
Well, nobody needs to know now. Hey, you were out last week when we talked about this, but I'm sure you saw the video because it went viral. Rodolfo Castro, the kid infielder for the Pirates, who had his phone fall out when he was sliding into third, had this giant phone that looks like the size of a surfboard. It was in his back pocket. He was coming around first to third on a base hit to left. He slides in head first into third base, and his phone falls on the dirt. He got suspended a game. So in addition to his phone probably getting all messed up, dirt getting in his charger portal and whatever else happened, embarrassing, umpire laughing at him, he got suspended again because you're not allowed to use that technology on the field of play.
I feel like that's tough. I mean, it's not as if someone's texting him what pitch is coming or something, right?
Well, I guess that's this isn't like the an possibility Astros is like you scheme. Can check your phone. Because remember they were using the Apple Watches, like the Red Sox or one of
Boston.
The teams, I think?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they basically banned the use of technology on or near the field. So I guess this is just part of being consistent with that.
I guess that's tough, though. I mean, you gotta go to the AT&T store and get a new cell phone, and you could do it on your day off. I guess when you're suspended for a game, I guess that's the time to go get a new celly after you dove head first. Oh man, that is tough.
Elsewhere, the Padres are swapping out Fernando Tatis Jr. bobblehead night for Juan Soto T-shirt giveaway. So they're now scurrying to put together some Juan Soto T-shirts. Tatis was suspended 80 games for performance-enhancing drugs this past week.
What a mess.
The 23-year-old, one of the biggest stars in baseball. This is actually really sad, and his whole career now is going to be questioned. He can never go to the Hall of Fame, despite being one of the best players in the game now at 23 years old. But his teammates have come out and are really upset with him. The GM, A.J. Preller's, called him out, really organizationally top to bottom, because
you
know, he wrecked his motorcycle and wasn't available all season. They gave him $340 million last year, and he's basically one time after another disappointed them since. Well, they're not going to give out the bobbleheads. I don't know if they're tossing him or waiting till next year, maybe, till he's back in their good graces. But in the meantime, they're making some Soto T-shirts to give out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, A.J. Preller's using words like trust. Players are talking about being openly disappointed with him after this weird saga of the offseason. And his 2022, very forgettable for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Nats game day weather brought to you by Pepco. Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Your DC weather tonight. Looking out the window, a little overcast right now, but it's actually comfortable. 81 degrees, 15% chance of precipitation, winds about 9 miles per hour. So let's hope for the good guys the wind is blowing out tonight against the Cubs when they are in the batter's box. For Darius, Ryan, Grant, and Danny saying so long, we're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to have the brand new head coach of the XFL's DC team. Not named yet. We don't know if they'll be named the Defenders. They'll be in studio tomorrow here on Half Street, which I'm looking forward to a little bit after 5 o'clock, so make note of that. Danny, enjoy your evening, buddy.
I'll go hang out in the sand dunes.
One last ride. Yeah, they're very helpful. Nobody wants wind that harbor near the wind. Beach. That harbor wind that makes you feel good during the summer, nobody wants
want that.
G&D on the Fan, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Nats baseball is next.
I'm Craig Heis.
Thank you, Craig. For Craig as well. Nats baseball is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.